This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's access media station, Plains FM, and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Terra Nova Earth Talks. We speak with cutting-edge experts and wise elders from across the globe on the issues and action our Earth is calling for. Brought to you by the Terra Nova Foundation, driving environmental change through human connection and collective action.
Today on Terra Nova Earth Talks, we are talking about small and medium-sized businesses and what contributions they can make to be more connected with the Earth. We consider, if Mother Earth could talk to SMEs, small medium enterprises, what would she say? Small and medium-sized enterprises are the majority of businesses here in Aotearoa, New Zealand, and around the world. The potential impact of these enterprises is huge, and arguably where the innovation for our future will come. At Terra Nova, we separate the main areas of contribution to the environment that businesses can make in the following ways. The values and principles of the business. In other words, who are you as people? What kind of mark do you want to leave in the world? Second, the products and services of the business. Where do your resources come from? How are they made? How do you operate day to day? And how will your products and services end? And thirdly, how the business connects with its local environment. And then, only if it's needed, how a business can redress or counter any damage it does to the environment. So, this all sounds great in theory, but what does this mean in practice? How do you avoid totally unethical greenwashing and get going on the practice that is a win-win for all parts of you and your business? How do you take the steps that Mother Earth would be proud of? Today, we are joined by the wonderful Hannah Duda. Hannah is leading the way with business and community environment projects here in Otatahi, Christchurch. But is no stranger to the role small businesses can take, having founded the very successful company Indigo and Iris. Set up with the specific purpose of raising funds for social impact projects and organisations, Indigo Iris sold high-quality beauty products that are vegan, cruelty-free, ethically sourced and eco-conscious. We are really happy to have you here in the studio today, Hannah. Welcome.
Kia ora. Nice to be here.
So, let's kick off. Hannah, there's a huge library of jargon and acronyms for business and the environment, including around climate, sustainability, getting involved in conservation, acronyms like CSR, ESG, triple bottom line, net zero, carbon neutral, donut economics, B Corp, circular economy. I could keep going on and on and on. So there's certainly a big, long list. But here at Terra Nova, we like to keep it a bit more straightforward. So my first question to you is fundamentally, why ought a business care about the environment?
To simply put it, I would say to thrive. So I think at the moment and now more than ever, there's not really a choice, in my opinion, about whether you care about the environment or not. If you don't care about it, it's not going to not affect you in the future. So you need to care about it. It's an essential part of business these days. And I think to really thrive financially and in all the ways that you want your business to thrive, you need to take action now and care about the environment. I definitely think it's going to end up costing us a lot more than what action might cost you now. I think a lot of people get worried about going down this track of caring because it can be scary and I think can seem to, you know, potentially cost you more money. But I can tell you now, if you do not act, it will cost you more.
So when you're talking about costs, so there's lots of businesses out there that I've spoken to have said, you know, I'm a bit concerned about things. But when you're saying, Like, you're sounding quite critical right now, right? Mm. So are you talking climate extreme events, or are you talking just generally about pollution? Like, what are some of the things that you think are critical?
I think that's going to come down to a lot of different things. I think definitely just the weather events, full stop, that's already going to start to impact, you know, whether your employees can get to work, their homes, your home, your office. There's just going to be some big changes that are going to start happening. But also in other ways, in terms of your customers and your important stakeholders, your employees, it's just going to start to get more and more critical for you to act, because you're going to start losing some employees because they don't agree with what you're doing, or some customers because they can't see your action. And yeah, we obviously are going to get into greenwashing later on, but I think it's going to start to become more and more of not so much a trend, but actually, you know, part of reality for all businesses.
So I want to pick up on one of those things. So your employees.
Mm.
So we have seen, it's quite amazing in the last 5 years, actually, the number of, or the percentages of people around the world, not just in Aotearoa, New Zealand, where people are saying that if their values don't align with their business, they will leave or look to leave wherever possible, or simply not apply if it's, say, a job that comes up. So could you give us a bit of insight? Because you have worked, and this is what I find a little bit extraordinary, is during COVID, when everyone was kind of sort of freaking out and businesses were taking a back step, you started working with a business in New Zealand that decided they wanted to do quite a big commitment to the environment and to kick off a genuine connection with the community. Can you tell us a bit about that and how that has helped, you know, some of these issues for them in terms of the internal value and as well as the community?
Yeah. Well, going back on the employee stat, so 68% of millennials will not work for a company without clear ESG goals. So environmental sustainability, good governance, ethical practices, they will literally leave the company if they can't see that those are being implemented. And that, for me, is going to, from what I've heard and seen, is going to get even worse with Gen Z. They're even more staunch on that. So I think that will be up more near the 80%. So I think it is very critical for any business to start thinking about what they are doing, because their employees are going to start demanding it. And if they can't see that it's been implemented and it's just a nice poster on the wall, they will leave or not work for them anymore. So yeah, I think it is super important. And yeah, so I think practices, oh gosh, now I feel like I'm going off track.
You're what never was your question? Go off track. Your project that you did during COVID.
Which project are you talking about? I feel like I did so many.
Yeah, COVID was not a quiet time for either of us. Needless to say, the environment doesn't ever stop. No matter what's going on in the world, we're still out there.
Yeah.
But the work that you did with Meridian and tree planting, particularly in this region where we're in Waitaha, Canterbury.
Yeah, the work with Meridian has been pretty amazing, because I had never worked, I guess, that closely with a big corporate, you know, like this big company. And I think I had always really put any big corporate into a box of, they don't care, they're not doing, you know, good, and we need to fight them. However, Meridian are definitely the opposite of that and truly are walking the walk when they talk the talk. They're creating a carbon sink across New Zealand to ensure that they will forever be carbon neutral. They aren't just buying credits, they're creating, you know, forests and reforestation, which is awesome, to you know, offset their carbon emissions. And at the Christchurch Foundation, we have been helping them do that in Waitaha, Canterbury, through finding landowners connections where they can work on these new native forests, and also through our Tui Corridor project, which has been incredible, which is less about carbon offsetting and more about ecological impact and community engagement. We've been planting for the last kind of 3 years over 30,000 trees between the Christchurch city and Hinawai. And it's all around tui, because we are one of the only main centres in New Zealand that doesn't have tui birds present. And it's basically because of a huge loss of native bush between here and, you know, all the Banks Peninsula, basically. And yeah, we're trying to, I guess, rectify that by planting beautiful native vegetation kind of islands for the tui to jump between and hopefully make their way into the city centre. So yeah, it's been an awesome project to be a part of.
So just, we mentioned this a few times on this podcast, but ecosystems in New Zealand are disappearing like anywhere else in the world. In fact, arguably, we're seeing disappearance of our ecosystems at a very high rate, even when you're looking at the global rates, and with a big percentage of native species, both flora and fauna, disappearing. Mm. And we have a penguin that even used to be on the Banks Peninsula, near Otatahi Christchurch, that used to have the yellow-eyed penguin, or the huiho. And it's been given a 10-year extinction date, unless there's intervention. So we're short on ecosystem strengthening, and we're high on ecosystem disappearance or the journey to it. So can you just give a little bit of insight into how the business, okay, it's a bigger business, but I think it started to lead the way in terms of action that could be taken here by a business. What did it involve? Like, how was staff involved or was it just a gift of money to a whole bunch of projects? Like, sure. How did it work?
Meridian's definitely very hands-on, so there's definitely money involved, of course. So they fund all the trees and the plants that we're planting, and you know, things like weed mats and guards that are also very important when you're doing a planting project. But then they also send out their army of staff who get volunteer days throughout the year, and also just team bonding. You know, it's a great way to get your team together and bond when you're doing some planting. So yeah, it's been a real commitment from the business to get really involved, and we've actually got one coming up this month that's going to have 35 of their staff, including some of their executive team, coming to the Rāpaki Marae and planting. But these projects are very much collaborations. So, you know, there's us, the Christchurch Foundation, there's Meridian, who's kind of, I guess, the sponsor. But then there's also all the community groups that are doing amazing work in these areas that we connect with. And, you know, putting a plant in the ground is just the first step. There's the maintenance, there's looking after it. You have to go back and check on it and look after it until it's, you know, mighty and strong after the kind of 15 to 20 year point. So it's a real collaboration, and we need to ensure we're working with groups that are, you know, their intention is pure and they're there for the long run, and all the environmental work that gets done needs to have that really long-term outlook. So it's one thing to just kind of go with your workplace and plant a couple of trees, but if you're not going back every year at least to visit and, you know, take that same team back to do some weeding and maintenance, then you're not really embracing that kind of kaitiakitanga, you know, mantra that we talk about and use that word, because it really means about being the guardian of it rather than just kind of popping by and you're doing your little good deed for the day. So, yeah, Meridian really show that in their work, and they're a great partner to have.
So just to clarify, so kaitiakitanga is the Māori word for what is probably the closest English word, and it's difficult with a lot of Māori words to get a English translation, but would be guardianship. But more the concept of looking after the earth, with the earth being us. So we are part and parcel of the earth, and therefore we have a role to look after this place and everything, all the living beings on it. So there's this wonderful deep meaning to that word. So that's a long, long way away then from just counting the numbers of carbon offsetting.
Right? Yeah, definitely.
So this is, you're talking, and you're not talking plantations, gathering.
No. No, definitely not. No, it's very different. I think Meridian are leading the way for it. And I think, you know, businesses should be using them as a guide and, you know, talking to Meridian about what they're doing, because it's definitely not about just planting pine forests and chopping them down and making money or getting the carbon credits. It's truly about restoration and, you know, leaving New Zealand in a better place. So they have very long-term, you know, foresight and how that's going to look. So it's awesome.
And working with the local environment. So this is one of the key things that businesses of any size can do, is look local. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't really matter where you are on the planet. Local is going to be totally critical to the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
So a good place to start local. It's Meridian was a business that started
They're a Christchurch company.
And to work with local projects. So rather than trying to invent a new project and you're actually collaborating with existing land, existing restoration and redress.
Yeah, there's definitely no need to reinvent the wheel when it comes to these types of projects. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of projects that need help, need funding. So businesses could easily collaborate, whether it's through us at Christchurch Foundation or reach out, you know, directly to the business, to the organisations doing some incredible work. And Banks Peninsula is definitely leading the way as well in terms of different, you know, pest-free, obviously, they're doing amazing work there, but also just the different landowner collaboration because, you know, for environmental projects to be successful, you need everyone on board. And when you've got different landowners and different outlooks, you need to be working really carefully and, you know, nurturing those relationships. And Banks Peninsula Conservation Trust does that really well. So we're very lucky here in Christchurch. But we're also looking, you know, Selwyn, Waimakariri, City Centre, there's a lot going on the red zone. There's actually a lot in our backyard in Waitara, Canterbury and Christchurch that you can really get involved and feels a lot better when it's local as well because you can truly see it. You know, when I drive past planting sites now, I get so excited because I planted those trees and I can go back and look at it and I already picture myself going back in, you know, 15 years, hopefully showing children or something and going, oh, look, I planted this tree and tell them all about it. So it's quite a cool thing to be a part of.
Yeah, and even within a couple of years, actually,
100%.
You can see huge areas totally changed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to take you back in time a little bit because I want to talk more to the small and medium-sized enterprises. Now, it's, you know, it's a tough time that SMEs have had of late. I mean, we've had COVID, extreme weather events, supply chain issues, which is a big deal for Aotearoa New Zealand, but also around the world. So one of the things I think that can be really challenging is that although people want to help out, how can you do something when you are also just trying to survive as a business? Now, there's nothing more acute than a startup for knowing what that's like. And you did that with Indigo and Iris. Mm-hmm. So you set up with the absolute intention to make it as impactful both socially and environmentally as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us a little bit about that and perhaps some of the challenges that you have had and how you overcame them?
Sure.
Or maybe you didn't. Maybe it was just a matter of being realistic.
Yeah, so Indigo and Iris, which we always said was a beauty brand, who gives a damn? So we were a beauty brand with makeup products, mascara and lipsticks, and we donated our profits to two different charities, the Fred Hollows Foundation and Dress for Success. And yeah, every step of the way, we always ensured we were trying to make the best decision environmentally and for the people. And that include, you know, ethical supply chains, vegan, cruelty-free products, sustainable packaging where we could, and, you know, a formula that was not going to be harmful for people when they're using it and things like that. So yeah, from the beginning, we really had that at the heart of our business, which I think does make it a lot easier. I guess my first tip is it's better to start implementing this right from the beginning. So if you are a startup, do it now, even though you might not have millions of dollars to donate. Actually creating a supply chain and you know, processes that are going to help you be better in the future is going to be a lot easier implementing that now than down the track.
And just do that. You can do that in lots of different ways now. So when you start integrating Iris, maybe not as easily, but now you can do, obviously you can donate to a not-for-profit. So you had 50%?
Yeah,
50%. Went to not-for-profit. But you can also donate shares or equity or some aspect that's not actually a huge amount from your startup position, but may contribute significantly in the future.
Definitely.
So, or just simply adding on if you're an online business. So I think you are online, being able to add that to your point of sale, saying, give
out
more.
Yeah. And I think it is, you know, it's easier now. It's only getting easier, in my opinion, even just from things like packaging and shipping solutions. There's more and more better options out there than even just, you know, 5-6 years ago when I first started Indigo and Iris. So I think, you know, there's basically less and less excuses of why you shouldn't be doing this. Economies of scale has kicked in with a lot of that stuff. You know, packaging is the same price, if not cheaper, to choose the more environmentally friendly one. So you don't have an excuse, in my opinion. And, you know, the bottom line, that one we always originally talked about, the profit kind of margins, you know, shouldn't be hugely impacted when you're making better decisions. And as I said, it's going to actually end up costing you less in the future if you're making those decisions now. So, yeah, if you're a business, start making those good decisions. But in terms of challenges, I think for us, we were pretty lucky, I think. COVID definitely impacted us like everyone else. Supply chains in Italy, shipping from, places like Italy to New Zealand was just a nightmare. Shipping costs for a pallet went from about $1,000 to $8,000 overnight.
Wow.
And when you're giving 50% of your profits away, that just chunks into that, which is, not great. But we definitely adapted. And I think one thing that COVID did give us was that, we could be more agile, but we had to move, we had to pivot, we had to, change. And I think that's actually a great time to start making changes in your business. When you're not stuck in that day-to-day operational stuff and you're having to look at the big picture, that's actually a great time to make new decisions around being more environmentally friendly or changing different processes. So I think COVID actually gave people a chance to shake things up a bit. It reminds me of the earthquake, which, I was only first year uni when that happened, but it actually gave people an excuse to change things, whereas it's quite hard to change things when you're in this real, rush of just doing the same thing day after day. But I think COVID actually gave people the opportunity to go, well, hang on, let's actually rethink how we even do things, because we've seen the impact COVID could have. What could flooding, how could flooding impact our lives? How could, climate change start to impact our business? And I think it's a great time to make some better decisions around that, being more environmentally and
wonderful.
Better for the world.
So I guess the flip side is that is maybe you don't have to wait to a
100%.
A major event to do this. But,
no.
But you will have to carve out time somehow or another to be able to re-look at what you're doing and look at how you could change things.
Definitely.
And that's a big time commitment. And, of course, there's never enough time. That's the common thing we hear all the time in the sector is everyone's busy.
Yes, yeah.
But the reality is we have to carve out some of this time for some of this really important decision making.
Yeah, I think it's pretty incredible if you look at how quickly businesses changed when COVID hit. Mm. It actually shows how fast things can happen. You saw businesses who had never allowed staff to work from home within days having their whole business up and running from home. And it's something I'm sure some of those businesses pushed back on if staff had ever mentioned it before COVID. And now that they had to make that change, it happened so quickly. And I think that's going to unfortunately be the case for a lot of the environmental stuff, is they're going to have no choice. But it's a lot easier now to make that decision prior, be proactive.
Be ahead of the game.
I know, and don't be the ambulance at the end of the hill and actually do it now instead of thinking, when that happens. I was actually recently in Singapore and there's a whole government agency that's just dedicated to looking at scenarios and going, if this happens, what will you do? And I feel like more businesses need to think like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Your future scenario building. Mm. We're going to talk about that in future podcasts, actually.
Cool.
So that will be cool. Now, we could talk about these things all day. So, of course, because it's just, it's really limitless now what small and medium enterprises can do, and for both mutual benefit for environment and the business. But we don't have forever. So I'm just going to cut to a very critical question going forward. In your experience, and looking forward, what do you think is the most critical thing an SME could do to ensure it has a positive impact on our earth? It's just a small question
to finish
off.
I think I'm going to say two things mainly. The first is just to ask yourself the question, is the world better off with your business in it? And I think it's quite scary when you think of that. I also think people should ask themselves that sometimes. Is the world better off to have you in it? And just think why or why not, and just really explore that question. But the final kind of thing and the main thing for me is just about reduction and reducing everything. Just, pull back in terms of consumption and how much your business is consuming in terms of supply chain, but also just day to day. I think, if businesses even just looked at I don't know, their milk bottles at the coffee machine, kind of things like that. I think it sounds very basic, but I don't actually think people are doing that. It's something we've always known about. That's probably been something, you know, that was talked about when I was at high school in terms of the environment. But I actually just don't even think people are going back to basics and doing that kind of work.
Yeah.
So I think reducing as much as you can, because offsetting, and, you know, that's the final thing you should do. The first thing you should do is reduce. So reducing your carbon emissions, reducing your consumption of plastics and the waste creation, and actually, you know,
massively reducing. You're not just you know, in New Zealand we're looking at when it's the overshoot, we're like 3 Earths.
Yes, oh, it's insane.
So we have to reduce.
I think we're close
massively
to 6 now. I think New Zealand's consuming as if we had 6. I mean, I know America's like 12 planets or something. It's insane. So, yeah, I'm talking serious reduction.
Yeah.
And also really putting pressure on your supply chain, you know, your suppliers, I think. Mm. It's, if people keep kind of asking the right questions to their suppliers, you know, they'll start getting asked the same questions from their customers. It's going to be this big loop where everyone is being held accountable, which I think is important. So, yeah, just really looking at that consumption piece and what is, you know, what you're consuming.
Wonderful. That's a wonderful message going out. Mm-hmm. Reduce, reduce, reduce.
Mm. Important.
First step. That's, if you do that, you're on a really great step forward for everything, and probably for yourself as well, feeling like you're really providing a meaningful contribution.
Definitely.
Well, wonderful. Thanks again for being here, Hannah. It's lovely to have you in the studio and to be sharing some of your experiences on the ground. Lots of times we hear people in theory, but it's great to have someone who's actually right amongst it and taking action, getting going on really critical action in this country. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Thanks so much, Hannah. If you want to connect with Hannah, what's the best way?
LinkedIn, Hannah Duder, D-U-D-E-R. I think there's only one other of me in the whole world, so you'd find me if you wrote Hannah Duder Christchurch. Yeah, LinkedIn is probably the best place.
And we will have all of the links and references that we've talked about in this podcast today on the Terra Nova website to go along with the podcast. Cool. Well, wonderful. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Terra Nova Earth Talks. For more information on the content and links from this podcast, go to the Terra Nova website. That's terranova.foundation. To listen to other interviews in this series, go to the Plains FM website. That's plainsfm.org.nz. Search for Terra Nova Earth Talks. Also on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Bye for now.